Welcome to Nicosia Uncut. Hello, Kemal. It's a rainy afternoon.
Hello, Andromache.
In Nicosia. How is it? How is Skioneli? Because I was reading about the dam.
Part of Nicosia is feeling threatened and then underwater and then there are floods. But generally, we are better than we used to be. I think Harmagi did a good job in treating the river beds. So not as bad as it used to be.
Good. So a lot has happened, and I think let's get started and let's discuss, because we have a lot to discuss. So we have Tufan Erhürman in the leadership of the Turkish Cypriot community, and we are sort of getting introduced to a new attempt, let's call it. It's not an attempt. It's an attempt for an attempt to start discussing Cyprop again. We are recording this episode two days before the meeting between the two leaders and Maria-Angela Holguin, who she is the envoy of the United Nations Secretary General. We see some reporting on meetings between the negotiators. Maria-Angela Holguin has met the two leaders already. So what is the setting, Kemal? How do you see it, this new era that is starting, let's say?
It's been almost 2 months since his election. Very briefly, I think we need to touch base on the fact that he has received 63% of the votes in an unexpected percentage. People were expecting a close race, which wasn't the case. I think people responded negatively to the attempts by the Turkish coalition in Turkey to interfere in the elections. And in a way, it's a good sign that the idea that the Turkish Cypriots will always be very vulnerable to the interventions coming from Turkey, this has been, I think, tested and failed. And I think we have seen cases, this is a very good example, that the Turkish Cypriots have responded, in fact, negatively to the intervention attempts, at least, by certain circles, not the entire establishment, I must admit, of the Turkish coalition. This is number one. And I think number two, people really fed up with the idea that there will not be any progress in the Cyprus talks, even if they understand this, that it's getting very difficult to resume the talks, but at least to get engaged and to maybe address the daily issues like crossing points and other issues. And the fact that Mr. Erhürman promised that he was going to get engaged and he is getting engaged is another reason. And number three, I think they understand that even if they don't agree with everything what they say, they understand that he's a serious person. And that was one of the campaign promises, that I'm going to be serious. It's very interesting at the times when all politicians are trying to look nice and funny and then one of you, that he actually got what he got because he promised that he's going to be serious. And that's, maybe we can discuss even more how he's actually carrying out his promises, or it seems so, after the election. And now that he has taken over, he is acting like a serious Turkish Cypriot leader. We might agree with the tone or maybe disagree with the way he's explaining things, and he's not necessarily always being very a person in front of media, trying to please everyone. He's taking things seriously. And in fact, that he also promised that he will be open to everyone. He's not going to be a partisan. I think in the first 2 months, the way he's communicating with the coalition partners, because we are a parliamentary system, and the coalition partners were his opponents, but he's not acting as if he's willing to take a revenge. He's acting as if he wants to make things work, and he's working with people from right, left, and center. He's not categorizing them as pro JTP, where the party he used to belong to. In fact, some JTP members, CTP members, are even subtly complaining that he really cut all his ties with from his party and from his background. He wanted to act like an independent leader, as the constitution in the Turkish Cypriot community is asking for. And that's another thing that I think we need to mention, that he has a law background and he likes to do things by the book. He believes in the institutions. He believes in a united federal future, but at the moment he is the president of the unrecognized TRNC, and he acts like one. He's not saying that, oh, one day this is going to be changing and then we're going to come up with a united federal republic. So I'm not very comfortable being in this chair. No, he's very comfortable being in the chair. He's the president of an unrecognized country, of course. The most important thing that we need to mention politically is that the time that he waited to first to talk to Mr. Erdogan after he was elected, he went there and they found a language which their differences were contained. They did not act as if there is no difference. No, Erdogan came out and said that he believes that the two-state solution is the best way forward. And Tufan Erhurman repeated his pre-election promises. He says that if negotiations are going to start, it needs to start on these four pillars, which are the equality of the Turkish Cypriots will not be questioned, and there it should be result-oriented, and that we should not go back to where we were if things fail, and all convergences should be accepted. And then we have to continue where we left off. So what does it mean? It means that these four pillars, you might call them conditions, he calls them pillars, are for the federal solution. That all convergences will have to be accepted. What were the convergences about? The convergences were about a federal future. So I see that this means that he's in favor of a federal solution, even if he's not very loud about it. So currently, I think there is an optimism in the sense that he will be engaged. I don't think that people are expecting that the talks will start and then eventually we are going to be solving it like very soon. But I think people are convinced in the Turkish Cypriot community that he means business. And what is the reflection in the Greek Cypriot community and what are the expectations? I know that even before he was elected, there was a sense of cynicism and even questioning whether he really means business or he's just a lighter version of Mr. Tatar. I disagree with that statement. I even wrote an article on that. But what is the reflection in the Greek Cypriot community and how do you see things, Andromache?
I think, well, as you said, he's very often presented as a lighter version of Mr. Tatar. In fact, there are some who even say, what's the difference? And, you know, the narrative goes that it is Turkey that decides for everything. So I think there is a tendency in the Greek Cypriot community to kind of underestimate, let's say, the importance of Erhurman's win. And I would say that there is also the tendency to expect from the other to adopt your narrative 100%, let's say. There is a difficulty in looking at the nuances, in understanding the diplomatic spectrum within which Mr. Erhurman is called to play, let's say. And he tries to balance out between a number of things. But this is often lost from the understanding in the discussion in the Greek Cypriot community. So there is often a tendency to hit back at statements made or to hit back at something that could be misinterpreted in the Greek Cypriot community. But this comes from a range of newspapers and media. There are also others that are more understanding, but I have to say that comprehensively, the outlook is kind of neutral towards negative, let's say. It's not the positive voices that are the loudest. On the contrary, I would say there is not a lot of discussion on the Cyprus problem. There is no, we are discussing other things, the EU presidency, Mr. Christodoulidis' travels, SAFE and the defense enhancement. We are not discussing Cyprus problem. And you see and I have to stress this, you see the Republic of Cyprus president, he's fine in everything that has to do with, you know, returning back calls from Erhurman or meeting with the UN Secretary General Envoy. He always ticks these boxes. The big question always comes as to what does he do in the way he governs. Does he govern in a way that shows a leader who is taking careful steps towards constructing peace? Is this what his moves show? And this is not the case in any way, Kemal. On the contrary, I need to say he constantly plays with the more extremist elements in the Greek Cypriot community. If you look at the structure of his ministers' council, especially after the latest reshuffling, you see anti-federalists entering the government, like people who are against the federation, who have spoken vocally against bizonal bicommunal federation, and who want something less than the 13 points of Makarios. So, when we are discussing the outlook, we need to put in the picture the way the Greek Cypriot community as a whole reacts and acts within this. And I have to say that we are in a kind of dormant state. But this dormant state comes at a time when the world is changing and everything around us collapses. So how do you see this more kind of international realm of hanging over the Cyprus problem?
I was going to ask you the same question.
I can comment but, as well after you.
Continue, because I spoke too much. You start and then I'll continue my perception.
No, I think that we need to put in the picture that we are in the midst of a situation in which you have an absolute and almost authoritarian leader in the United States basically enforcing his will in any way possible. And you had him present the Gaza so-called peace plan. You had him present the Ukraine so-called peace plan. So, and it kind of feels like the time is ticking for him to present the Cyprus peace plan, so-called peace plan as well. And, you know, I remember I did a video a year ago in which I was discussing this whole Gaza, Erdogan and Trump triangle. And I was saying in the same way, it was at the time when Mr. Trump was referring to the Gaza Riviera. And I was asking, okay, so this man who is so openly talking about the Gaza Riviera, and he's in such a good relationship with Tayyip Erdogan of Turkey, what will happen when he turns his eyes on Cyprus and he figures out that there is a problem that exists for more than 60 years and is up for solving by him? So, and I was discussing this, and today, you know, this, we are in the midst of this. There are articles in the Greek Cypriot media speaking of a Trump plan for Cyprus that is rumored in Brussels, is rumored in New York as well. And there is an active sense that Trump is looking towards Cyprus. And you had the intervention by the U.S. ambassador in Ankara a week ago or so, in which he openly spoke about the Cyprus problem, basically saying that it is, as we pinned down before, Kemal, that it is like an abscess that needs to be dealt with in order to allow the Greek-Turkish relations to proceed. This is basically what he said. And this This comes back to what we have said multiple times before, Kemal, that unless you put forward the Federation, the solution plan that you want, that you embrace and actively seek it, you would soon get caught out of the race. And there would be another player emerging who would impose his own desire, especially if he's met with no kind of pushback. And I want to remind you here that a while ago, Mr. Kudret Ozersai from the People's Party in the North, he had said that he believes that the U.S.-Republic of Cyprus relations are at such a stage in which he does not think that if Trump comes up with a plan for Cyprus, that Christodoulidis will be in a position to reject it. And I tend to agree.
Remember, we were saying the same things, that he's now very vulnerable to any kind of a U.S. intervention. He will not be able to balance it out if something, a push comes from the U.S.
That's exactly the case. And we are now in the midst of it. And I think we will soon be discussing more concrete ideas to be put down. And I don't think that they would be to our pleasure.
I was amazed by the recent statements of the American administration towards the European Union that it's a civilization erasure. That's the exact expression, if I remember correctly. Trump administration has never liked the European Union because they wanted to deal with the EU states, the European countries, separately, one by one. And I think they believe that this is the best way to protect the American interests and how the way they define the American interests. And I think the recent statements by Mr. Barak, who is more than an ambassador, he's more like a regional governor for Europe and Middle East and the Mediterranean. And he said that it was wrong for the American administrations to interfere in the internal matters of the governments, to export regimes, as we call them. And then he says that it's not our job. And our job is to make sure that general stability is there. So what I understand from those statements, it's very clear that they don't mind working with the dictators, they don't mind working with the human rights abusers, as long as there is some sort of stability and security and some kind of a balance in the area that they are dealing with. When it comes to the Mediterranean, when we look at the region, Americans used to be net importers of energy, and now they are the net exporters. And now with this vertical corridor of the idea that Americans will sell energy to Greece and it will go through Bulgaria, through Romania, and it will reach to Ukraine. And now they made another energy deal with Turkey, and they are also now selling energy to the both countries. So I don't see that the hydrocarbons around Cyprus is really very important. I think now we understand that they are not in big amount, and they are not as important as everybody would think. But what is important is that we need to have some sort of a stability in the area. The security is important. The stability is important so that there will be energy deals and commercial deals. And then Israel is protected from the American perspective. So it's not the energy, it's the security, I think, coming to for a more. And the fact that Americans want to cooperate both with Greece and Turkey, and they want to make sure that there will not be any issues between these two countries, mainly to start with, and between Turkey and Israel. And Americans are now pushing some kind of an Israeli-Turkish rapprochement. And we might be seeing this coming again after a possible ceasefire and even some kind of a political deal. Maybe not permanently, but at least temporarily. So what does it mean for Cyprus' problem? It means that Cyprus cannot stay as a problem creator. If Cyprus' problem, if the division, if the status quo is guaranteed that it's not going to create any problem, Americans would not mind having Cyprus as it is right now. But I think they see the potential of Cyprus creating the problem. And that's why Ambassador Barak said that it's an abscess, because it might explode anytime. The way we were saying that the frozen conflict can melt. So I think they understand that it needs to be dealt with. And I don't see the Christodoulidis government being able to challenge any kind of an intervention coming from that direction. That's how I read it. And I think they also understand that Turkey is an important military power, in the sense that not only because of its army, but because how they develop a military technology recently. And I think they also value that too. And it's also true for the Europeans. Although EU and the US are not happy with each other's partnership, I think they both agree that solution of the Cyprus problem will be an important step for this organizational setup. But of course, we also have the local politics. And I know that you're very busy. We have the upcoming elections in the Republic of Cyprus, in the Greek Cypriot community, on the 24th of May 2026, if I remember correctly. And we have new players. Of course, you are the co-president of Volt Party, Volt Cyprus, and you are one of them. But we also see Fidias, who is a social phenomenon, if you ask me, more than a politician. And then Alma is, again, another new phenomenon in the Greek Cypriot politics. And seeing that Diko is not the third party anymore, Elamis. And then the DC and Akel are leading the polls, but not in a great margin. Will I be right if I tell you that we'll be seeing a diverse Republic of Cyprus parliament after May?
Yeah, I think we'll be diverse, possibly fragmented as well. I think we are going through that crisis, let's say, of representative democracy, in which you have to go through the chaos in order to recalibrate. This is how I see it, because I don't think that you can avoid a scenario in which you will have, people entering the parliament that... it's not a matter of entering the parliament. It's really a matter of dominating the political scene. I am the last person who would ever try to downplay Fidias, or I agree with you that he's a phenomenon in many ways. I have a lot of questions about this thing that he's building, because it is kind of based on a vague idea about what direct democracy is, but it has no sort of political substance yet, aside from this genuine, which I give him 100%, this genuine desire for change. But, the majority of the revolutions that failed, historically speaking, they failed because they revolted against something without having in mind what was the thing that they actually desired, or what was the structure.
Very philosophical, and I agree with you. Very philosophical, and I agree with you.
But it is a historical fact. It is there, like you can see it, that if you cannot, and there's a lot of discussion about the Arab Spring as well, that's why it kind of failed, because there was no work done on cultivating the spirit for what is to come, on preparing the ground, on putting the seeds for people to come and themselves, create where it is that they want to go. We haven't seen it yet with Fidias, and that's why it's really up in the air in terms of where it can go politically. I'm speaking politically about the ensemble when it will be finalized. But looking at it from a political analysis perspective, I think that I see in his party people who have mainstream nationalist or, let's say, more nationalist views, but with a social perspective that has to do with, you know, how we raise our families, supporting motherhood. So you have a social perspective, and you have that far right, not far right, he's not a far right, but I mean those people with tendencies that are not particularly, you know, open, let's say.
Like, there are also many populist elements, right? There are those who are not very happy with the existing political system, and they just want to break things apart. They just want to, show them, like, you know, we are not going to be your waters anymore. You know, we are going to vote this person who's slapping you on your face, on the face. So I think this is also a social global phenomenon everywhere. Like, people are reacting. People are unhappy with the political systems. And of course, there are those who are trying to bring politics into it, like your party, Andromahi. I've been following very closely. You've been trying to bring alternative politics, solutions to the issues. And I see how enthusiastic your people are. I have been following them on social media, regardless of the polls, and regardless of what's being said with the new phenomenons, and, you know, suddenly growing, and in a year's time maybe they will disappear. I see a very committed group of people addressing economy, addressing social issues, addressing Cyprus problem, addressing the global issues, being part of a European family, addressing European issues. And going to the places, visiting small cafes, organizing talks, talking to the people. This is how big movements start.
Yeah, thank you for that. Well, that's true. Having said that, we are kind of caught in the middle of a situation in which, you know, you are not in nowhere close to a mainstream party or in any way. But at the same time, you are not vague in where you stand. We have a clear political footprint. We are very clear in where we stand and what it is that we want. And thank you for saying that we have indeed made concrete policy suggestions. And we are trying to discuss politics on this island rather than optics. Or really, it's kind of a very, very dry moment in Cyprus when it comes to political and civic discussion. And on this note, I would like to say that we have, as Volt, we have submitted a series of suggestions for the Cyprus problem. I wanted to mention it before, and they kind of take a step forward, let's say, when it comes to a number of issues. And it's difficult. I'm saying this because it really is difficult to be, you know, that person who constantly comes and knocks on your back and says, let's talk politics, when people just want to discuss, I don't know, you know, whatever. So
whatever social media tells
them. Yes, and like them. I was telling a friend of mine the other day, like, there was this candidate from Direct Democracy, and he did this very glorified video of him with a bulletproof vest, etc., and, you know, discussing his candidacy. And I was.
This is the new movement of Fidesz, right?
And I was discussing with this friend of mine, and I was telling them, you know, you have political parties that could be submitting concrete policy suggestions, let's say, and they are not covered by the media. But then you have this sort of actions and interactions, and they get coverage. So, I mean, at the end of the day, and I think it's important for us to perceive this, at the end of the day, we live in a democracy, and it's the people who will decide. So whatever happens, you will know that it's the people who decide. And I always say this about the Cyprus problem as well. At the end of the day, We also, as citizens, have a responsibility to be informed, to be engaged, to be critical. It's not an easy thing to be a citizen.
Yes, but of course, the new life that we are living in talks about speed, talks about very changing, quick changing agendas, topics, and the existing political establishments all around the world work on bureaucracies. And they don't respond to this new understanding, I think, and this is why people are being carried away with daily moments, and then somebody wearing a vest on social media and a green or yellow or whatever, and protest, and people, you know, send 1 million likes on it, you know. So I mean, it's everywhere in the world, and I think we are in a transition. But talking about the Greek Cypriot politics, we also have the presidential elections in 2028, and I think Mr. Christodoulidis would be quite happy to see a very diverse platform, a parliament, so that it would be easier for him to control small groups to support his candidacy. Because if he's going to left to the big political parties, I don't think that it will be easy for him.
Yeah, I really do not know. I think what it is clear about Nikos Christodoulidis is that he plans, he is only left with the conservative right wing. I know he likes to present his government as a center-right government, but it's not a center-right government. It's a conservative right wing government, and I am very curious to see how he will manage to kind of sustain the pressure from his ministers, from the parties that are supporting him, about when it comes to, let's say, Cyprus problem development. And we need to say that Diko, EDEC, VIPA as well, they have tolerated a lot from the president. I mean, he has done a lot that go against, let's say, their values on some issues, etc. And they are still there, persisting there. I mean, half of them don't even support the Bizarpe Communal Federation or the Guterres framework. And they are still there with a president that says that he supports them. So the big question is who will be exposed between these two forces in the end? Will it be the president for being the one who says things that he doesn't believe in? Or will it be the parties that they will continue to pledge allegiance, let's say, to Christodoulidis, even if he proceeds with things on the Cyprus problem that he disagrees with? That is the question. And as we said before, I think that for Christodoulidis to budge in a substantial way, you would need kind of an intervention or a push from abroad. I expressed my hesitations towards something that can come from Trump, because I don't think that he can put something on the table that will do justice to the issue, in a sense. I mean, and I'm saying this in the scenario that he decides to put something out of his own head, and that he doesn't come and say, let's complete the process with everything that we have achieved up to now. I mean, that would be a rational position. But I mean, if he draws a plan out of his hat, let's say, I am hesitant towards it. But I do know that that would be a push for Christodoulidis to proceed. Whilst doing things on his own initiative, I don't see it. And, you know, I want to say this. On Thursday, 11th of December, the plan is for the two leaders and Olguin to also go to the Committee for Missing Persons and have a joint visit. And I was reading about this and I was thinking, well, this has to do with ticking the boxes. Because if it's not only about ticking the boxes, then a month ago, when it was the International Day for Missing Persons, you would have made the joint visit on that day. You would have made sure to include in your statements, in all your interventions on that issue, about the common and shared Cypriot pain, rather than trying to pinpoint it only on the Greek Cypriots. So this is what is missing, the comprehensive and overwhelming understanding that we are in a peacemaking process. Because he's good at ticking the boxes, But he's not good at including all of this in his own way of governing, let's say.
Well, in the Turkish Cypriot politics, the coalition partners continue to, you know, they're like ghosts. They're like, there is a brain dead, but somehow they continue to live. And we are hit by a series of corruption scandals. The undersecretary of the prime minister has been arrested. Undersecretary to the prime minister, it's number
what
two.
What has he been
charge.
Arrested
and
for?
Then for bribery. And then the head of the public procurement office has been arrested again for bribery. And, you know, it's the right-wing coalition is they continue because I think somehow Ankara tells them to continue for one reason or another. But, you know, there is an expectation for early elections in the Turkish Cypriot politics. The CHP has a new president, a woman president. And so if there will be early elections, some people are speculating that it might be as early as March, but I don't see it happening. If there will be early elections, it means that probably CTP will be Tufan Erhurman's former party, the left party, will probably be the leading party. The party that I'm also a member of, the second left party, the Social Democratic Communal Party, TDP, is also doing fine. So we might be seeing maybe some kind of a left coalition in the Turkish Cypriot community. So we might find ourselves in a situation where we have a pro-solution Turkish Cypriot leader and pro-federal solution coalition. I mean, it is not something that... It is a possibility. Whether we like what the tone of the new Turkish Cypriot leader is or not, it's another discussion. This will probably be getting the attention of the international community as well. And I'm not sure if the Greek Cypriot community is ready for it. So this is currently the situation. We are also entering in 2026. We are going to see 6 months of EU presidency. Cyprus will be the doing the job and then handing it over to Ireland. And we are also hearing a lot of discussions about Cyprus joining Schengen. And this means that the Green Line will actually be the external border of the European Union. I stress that word intentionally. So I am not sure if the Greek Cypriot politics is at the moment discussing these kind of things. And we need the Greek Cypriot politics to start discussing things in a quality way. Whether they are against it or in favor of it, it's another discussion. But we need politics to come into the agenda. And let's cross our fingers that will be the case maybe with the election process, Andromai.
Yeah, I think it's 6 months of very, very intense of a very intense process. Things are moving both in both communities, and I hope that I don't know. It's a difficult time, Kemal. I think, but we need to keep persevering. So that's the spirit.
Andromai, thank you very much for. I know that you're very busy and you're very tired as well. You are all over the place, and being a party leader, but also being a mother, and you have other responsibilities. We managed to spare some time for our listeners. Keep doing what you are doing, and you are good at this. Talking about politics, bringing ideology, bringing ideas, bringing reason into the discussion. And I am hoping that this stage will not be permanent. I am hoping that politics will again be the medium of making decisions for our communities and for the future. And let's hope that 2026 will help us to see maybe a process which is more productive and a better future for our country.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus, Island Talks, open, diverse, free.